With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour podcast. This week, Natalie Campbell's on holiday, all right for some. So you've got me, Harriet Minter, Emma Sexton, and Anna Williamson. We are going to be talking to acid attack survivor Katie G about how she came back from that. Charlotte Conway is talking about her campaign to make body hair acceptable everywhere. And it's our Badass of the Week.
One, two, three, four!
Five years ago, our next guest had her life completely changed when she went travelling with a friend to Zanzibar and was the victim of an acid attack. Joining us now in the studio, we have Katie G. Hello, Katie.
Hello. Hello.
Thank you so much for coming in. Can you take us back to that day and what happened?
Yeah, so I was there with a friend. It was the summer before I was meant to start university, so we wanted to do something different, go for a month away, kind of like a substitute gap year type thing. And we chose Zanzibar and we were volunteering there. We were teaching kids 3 to 6 years old kind of thing, teaching English and maths. And then it was the last weekend of this month and we were on our way out for dinner, and then two guys on a moped just drove past on the right hand side of me. My friend Kirsty was behind me to the left, and like threw the acid and then drove off straight away. That's essentially what happened.
That's absolutely shocking. Do you know why it happened? Did they catch them?
We didn't ever find out why it happened, and there was never a huge investigation on that side of things, so we never found out what happened.
I can imagine that that's probably the worst, not the worst part of it. There's so much trauma attached to it, but as you say, the lasting effects sort of physically and mentally as well, and for the fact that just completely unprovoked, you're on your holidays and someone has decided to do this. I mean, how has that left you feeling now?
For me, because it was in another country, because it was obviously in Africa, for me it was kind of easier to separate myself from the attackers being back in London. So I think if the attack was in London, I would have struggled a lot more with not having them being convicted. Mm. Obviously, it's like annoying and it's like very traumatic in that sense. But I think being in London did help me like compartmentalize. The attack was over there and I could like focus on my recovery back here.
Has it affected you traveling at all?
Yeah, I would say it has. I haven't been back to Africa since. I mean, maybe in the future I will, but every time I go abroad, and even like being in London, I'll make sure I'm safe or make sure I know where I'm going or have like a way home and things like that. I'm very like cautious about what I do and if I'm going to be in danger at any point.
What happened directly after the attack? Were you taken to hospital? Did they tell you, you know, what had happened to your body? What was the response?
So I ran straight to a bathroom, which was about 2 minutes down the road. I knew it was there because we had eaten at a restaurant that was attached to this bathroom before. So I ran straight there. I put all the taps on and there was a shower because it was next to a beach. So I just washed myself under there. And then I was screaming for help. Two tourists were up the road and came and helped me. And from there, we went to the first hospital and we were just dousing ourselves in saline. And then they ran out of saline, which is like disinfectant water. And so from there, we went to a nearby hotel because there were no other hospitals around and used their showers for about 4 hours. And then after that, we went to mainland Tanzania by a half an hour aeroplane and went to a hospital there. And then from there, we got on a medical aeroplane back to the UK, which was about 12 hours later.
Wow, you must have been in so much pain during that time.
Yeah, a lot of pain. Also, just like worried. And also, I was like, being sick because of the smell of the acid and like the taste as well. It's just like all the other things apart from the pain just like add to it.
Do you know what it was? What the actual substance was?
I have no idea.
Right, they didn't find that out.
No, so all my clothes I took off as soon as like the attack happened, just because it was absorbed in the acid. I had a purse in my hand that was a kind of like cotton material, and I know that got sent off to a lab, but I don't think they ever figured it out.
And then what's happened since? So obviously you've had the physical impact of this, but what has the mental impact been on you in terms of recovering from this? And, you know, obviously really traumatic experience. And how are you feeling now?
I think, so because it was 5 years ago, for the first few years, it was really hard. I like didn't go out at night for a good few years. And obviously I was having surgery the whole time. I think now it's easier, but it's like been impossible at times, and I like struggled with bad anxiety and like panic attacks and things like that. So I think it just like with time it will get better, and obviously there are moments where I still have that now, but it's obviously improved.
What was the effect on your body? So you said you've had surgeries. Mm-hmm. How much of your body was actually affected by it, and what's had to happen since?
Yeah, I think it's about 30-35% burns.
Wow, gosh.
And yeah, so I was in hospital initially for 6 weeks, and I was having surgery every other day over that 6 week period. And then I left and I was in hospital still every day having physio. And then from there, I think I've had like a lot of surgery. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot to have to go through. And I mean, I don't know about you girls, but I see you sitting here now and you look great.
Thanks.
And I'm not just saying that, you look fantastic. Do you look very different now to how you did after the attack? I mean, as in how bad? I mean, you say 30%, you know,
yeah,
burn to your body. That's an awful lot. So
yeah,
was there quite a lot of damage done by that acid? I know it sounds silly because you sit here now. I don't know about you guys. I mean, gosh, you look beautiful.
Thanks. No, it's bad. Like there are still scars everywhere. You can still see them. It's like half down my face. But yeah, it's really bad. It's 30% burns. I mean, there's not much you can do when you've got burnt skin. So it's just about like wearing your pressure suits and your face masks and like, I don't know, the physio and that kind of thing, just working on it. Surgeries.
Do you feel differently about your body now than you did before?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable that you would. There are obviously times like I went on the beach for the first time, I think it was like a year ago or like a year and a half ago. And that was like a huge thing for me. And I still wouldn't like wear a bikini. I just like don't feel confident in it. But yeah, I think it's hard, but it's like something that I'm like getting used to.
How do people react to you? Do you see people looking at your burns? Do you feel them looking?
I've had people ask me in public what happened to me, and I've like had strangers come up to me and be like, what happened?
Wow. Do you mind that?
Like sometimes no, because I'd rather them ask me than just stare. Like I've had people who have just stared like on the tube and things, and I would rather they just asked me. I think it depends on the situation. It depends where I am. Like if I'm sitting there eating, I would rather someone not ask me, but if I'm like on the tube and like whatever, they can ask. I don't know, it depends like what the context is. Yeah.
What would you say to your attackers if you saw them again? Do you know how do you feel about them now?
What would I say to them? I have no idea what I would say to them. I would probably not say anything to them. I don't know. I have no idea who they were. We didn't recognise them at all when they came over to us. So I have no idea, honestly.
Yeah.
I've never like thought about it because I don't think it would ever happen.
Yeah. And are you able to sort of, how to say, park it? I mean, are you able? You said you sort of have left it in Zanzibar.
Yeah.
So do you feel you're sort of able to do that?
Yeah, I was given the option to go back for an identity parade. But the guy that they had as a suspect had no like past convictions of acid violence. He was just there on like behalf of muggings and things like that. I feel like someone probably knows, because Zanzibar is so small, especially Stone Town, and I feel like someone knows who it was. They all know each other. So yeah, I can't remember the last bit of the question.
No, not at all. Yeah. It's about leaving it in Zanzibar.
I wouldn't go back. No. Left it there.
You are incredibly composed, and for somebody who's been through something so traumatic, you have an incredible ability to see it for what it was and not let it define you. Has that taken, you know, d- did you get to that point easily, or has it taken 5 years of really thinking about it and having to work through it? Did you have to have therapy?
I had therapy as soon as I came back. When I was in hospital, I had like a psychologist come into my room every day, but I feel like that was just part of the protocol anyway. Yeah. I've had a lot of therapy, and I think I just like try and be rational about it, and I don't want it to like completely mess me up forever because I'm still young. So I just like, I don't know, try to get through it the best I can.
Yeah. An incredible job.
When you say that as well, how, because that exactly as Harriet said, you seem to process it so well actually. So how does it feel? Because acid attacks just seem to be absolutely gaining momentum, sadly and tragically, in the press. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't it. I mean, we've obviously got Katie Piper that we know about, mm-hmm. but we were just talking before we came on air that a few months ago there was the toddler who was the victim of an acid attack, mm-hmm. you know, in his pushchair. Mm-hmm. So when you hear about these acid attacks that suddenly start making the headlines again, how does that affect you?
I think it's so terrifying, and especially the toddler who's like obviously so young. I just think it's like so scary. And the first thing I think about when I hear about other attacks is the recovery that they're going to have to go through, because like it's so much worse than I think people realize. And a burns recovery is like one thing, but having like the trauma of like an acid attack is just something else. So that's the first thing I think about, is the recovery. But it's terrifying, and I think that it being in the press so much, or like people being so aware about acid violence and how bad the damage is, kind of like makes people aware that it's like a possible way of hurting someone.
Do you think it's feeding it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think it's like copycats kind of get inspired by it in some way.
That's fascinating.
It's just like a trend.
Katie, it's been amazing talking to you. We're going to keep chatting to you because you've been doing some incredible stuff since your recovery as well to really help people come to terms, I guess, with their own physical appearances and things they're not so happy about. We're going to be talking about more of that and just more of your story and what we should all be doing actually to be more aware of this escalating violence and how we deal with it here on Badass Women's Hour XL.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
Welcome back. This is Badass Women's Hour XL with me, Harriet Minter, Emma Sexton and Anna Williamson. Right now we are talking to the incredible Katie G, acid attack survivor. Before the break, Katie, we were talking about the rise in acid attacks and how actually talking about them might almost be fueling them. Is that something you worried about when people were asking you about your own attack?
In terms of it inspiring other people.
Did it kind of stop you from talking about it for a while? Were you worried that it would increase the violence?
I don't know how much my attack would have like inspired other people, but I think in general it being in the news, I feel like some sick people out there would get inspired by it. So it does worry me that I think it would just be a trend. And I don't know how like trends have worked in the past in terms of violence, but I feel like it would inspire people, and that does scare me.
You've been doing some incredible work on your social media as well to kind of help other people that might be feeling a bit uncomfortable, or there's part of their body that they're a bit ashamed of, with your campaign called Setting the Standard. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit about that?
So I kind of only started talking about what happened to me like a few months ago. And from then I just did like articles here and there and like a few things. And I wrote an article for the Daily Mail, and they changed the title to something not very nice. They wrote "Girl Horribly Disfigured," blah, blah, blah. It's just like not a very nice title about me. And so I put it on my Instagram and I said, I wrote an article and it was about me and my recovery and surviving this. And this is what they wrote. And like, I don't agree with it. And it's just because like beauty standards are now so high on Instagram and they expect everyone to look a certain way and that whole thing. So I put, everyone upload a hashtag of yourself with this, with a picture that you haven't put on Instagram before because you didn't think it was good enough or something along those lines. And then like tag your friends to do the same. That's what it was.
And what sort of pictures were people sending in?
There was things from just no makeup, or people just like showing their scars, or like having spots, like anything, like pictures in bikinis that they wouldn't normally put on Instagram, or anything really.
Like stretch marks.
Yeah, and stretch marks. Yeah. Can't even think. Just like everything.
I've got plenty of pics I could upload to support this campaign.
Yeah, everything and anything. Like everyone has something, and it was just like scary how everyone actually did have something. So
ladies, yeah, have you got pics on your phone that you wouldn't be putting up on Instagram?
Yeah, do you know what though? I'm getting more and more happier to post bad pictures of me. I had a load of pictures the other week that were me like at a conference, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to buy into this Instagram rubbish because, you know, who decides what
nonsense,
beauty
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and we're all, well, I saw an amazing quote the other day that said something like, if all of us are not beautiful, none of us are beautiful. And I was like, oh my God, that is totally true, isn't it? Because we can't see all the beauty in individuals, then none of us deserve to, none of us are beautiful.
It's such a boring world, you know, if everyone sort of, you know, looks the same. But actually, in answer to your question on that, I've always been quite honest and open. I just don't really care. And I mean that in a good way. You know what I mean? I know that sometimes I can look a lot better than I do at other times. Yeah. And that's fine. But actually, I talk about the mum thing. It was my son's birthday yesterday, and I put up on Instagram sort of what I call the real birth picture, as you know, as opposed to the kind of filtered Instagram, you know, glowing mother. No, I look horrific. If you go on my Instagram, you'll see it. And I'm just like, because that's what it's like. And I think, as you say, and again, the positivity that comes from that, people go, thank you for posting that with all of your wires hanging out your arms and, you know, looking a bit red in the face and sweaty. And, you know, that's what it's all about, isn't
it? What was funny, there were loads of ones with like screenshots of people's camera rolls, and it was just like 100 of the same picture, but like a slightly different angle. And there was like a few of those, which is quite funny.
It's obsessive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Has it been hard to talk about it though? You said you only started talking about the attack about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
How have you found talking about it? Has that been therapeutic, or has it been really challenging for you?
Yeah. So I was offered to do like things when it actually happened, and for me, I just wanted to recover like on my own or just like with my family. I wasn't interested, and I thought it would like make me worse, like mentally. And then when I graduated university, I reached out to a charity called Changing Faces, and then from then started doing like a few small bits here and there. So that kind of like inspired me working with people from the charity. And also I kind of just thought, why not?
Yeah, it's like turning something that was an extremely traumatic time into, is positive the right word? I don't know if that is the right word, but you know what I'm going with that.
Or just like, it's happened anyway, so I might as well make the best of it. It's already happened, so I might as well.
That was like one person, and that's the kind of
exactly
thing,
exactly.
Katie, what would you like to see come from the Setting the Standard campaign? How would you like, I guess, our standards and our ideas of ourselves to change?
I think like it only takes like a few people to, I don't know, open someone else's eyes and inspire them to change like their mindset. And I feel that now, more so than it used to be, people are more open on Instagram, as you guys were saying, like now you like don't really care as much. And I think that like now it's like slowly changing slightly. Obviously there's like a lot more to do, but I think like the more people like join in and don't really care, the more other people won't care.
And finally, what would you like to see in terms of how, I guess, government and legislation treats people who are both victims of asset attacks, but also those committing those attacks? Do you think we need stiffer punishment for them? What should be happening?
I think stiffer punishment, also people who are able to buy asset anyway. I think that needs to be regulated, and definitely like deterring people with, I don't know, longer sentences and things like that.
Fabulous. Katie, you've been an absolute inspiration. Thank you so much for joining us. If people want to hear more from you or get involved in the campaign, where should they be looking?
So on my Instagram, I do the hashtag, and then I created...
Remind us of the hashtag again.
Oh, sorry. Setting the standard. And I created a separate page for it as well, so you can like see everyone. I'm like trying to post all the ones that I like screenshotted initially, so you can see them there as well.
Fabulous. And if anyone wants to talk to you, where can they find you?
I don't know. Instagram, Twitter, at KCJG. I'm really bad at this.
Not at all anywhere. Just, you know, pick up a phone book.
No, like, no,
I'm going to make you say your Instagram. Are you on YouTube as well?
Yes, I did. I created a YouTube channel like a month ago.
Tell us what that's called.
My name was KTG.
Brilliant. Yeah. You just have to say it 1,000 times. That's how people get to know. Yeah. Katie, it's been so lovely having you on. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. It's been really inspiring.
Thank you.
Ladies, what are you going to do differently on Instagram now you've heard this?
Well, I'm definitely going to do a post with Katie's hashtag setting the standard, because, I mean, there's going to be several pictures in my...
Yeah.
photo album that perhaps haven't made it to Instagram. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll just do a whole selection.
I was going to say,
do all of them,
yeah.
The whole album.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I sort of feel like, I mean, the only thing missing from my post yesterday of me in a hospital bed looking far from good.
No, I didn't see that.
Did you see it?
But it was really amazing. It was just a really lovely post, actually. Aww. And I think we do get too caught up in posting things that we think are aesthetically pleasing. But that's a really beautiful moment. Aww, you've just made a human being.
Well, that was it. I think I mean, I do like to kind of, you know, be a bit kind of jokey sometimes. But it was quite a serious one. You know, I had it was an awful time actually, the birth. But I was like, well, do you know what? It isn't filtered. I am being real, just like you, Katie. You know, but obviously for very different reasons. Mm-hmm. But that was my real pick, you know. That was my hashtag setting the standard. So anyone that's giving birth right now, beat that.
I think we've all become really like a bit prissy about Instagram. I was reading an article this week about people being afraid to post pictures of their homes on Instagram.
Why?
Because there aren't enough candles. It doesn't look. They don't have the requisite green velvet sofa.
Let's be honest. We've all got an ironing board or a washing, you know, a clothes horse behind us. I know I have. Do you know what I mean? You're so right, Harriet. It's about finding that ideal corner where you've got all your posh candles. Well, do we have that?
I'm just looking around the studio. There is not an ideal corner at all in
the studio. You need a plain wall.
Yeah, we'll definitely do a setting the standards hashtag picture in this room. I reckon. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Our next guest is 25, and she's taken the decision to just stop shaving her body hair altogether. Find out why. We're joined in the studio now by Charlotte Crosby. Hello, Charlotte.
Hi.
Charlotte Conway. Sorry, not Crosby. Charlotte
Hi,
Conway.
Everyone.
Hello. So tell us, when we say you've taken the decision to stop shaving your body hair, what were you shaving that you're now not?
Well, I recall asking my mum when I was around 14, maybe actually younger than that, probably 12, 13, whether I was allowed to shave my legs. And... because I felt like I had to, all the other girls at school were, and all the actresses in films. I don't think I even had armpit hair at that point. And I remember one of the first times that I shaved my legs, I cut myself so badly. Mm. You know, when you shave off a bit of skin and it wouldn't stop bleeding. Yeah. And I had no idea what to do. It was a pretty nasty experience. I do think, though, however, I'm not saying that I would completely abstain from all body hair grooming at all. I think that... it's the emphasis that I want to encourage is that it is a choice, not an expectation, not something to feel guilty about and have to, and one can experiment either way.
So we've got an incredible picture of you on our Twitter at Talk Radio at the moment, which is you showing off your armpit hair, your leg hair, looking, I think, incredibly hot. Tell us how that picture came about and what it inspired for you.
That photograph came about as I was invited to be part of a project called Natural Beauty by the photographer Ben Hopper, whose website I think is therealbenhopper.co.uk. And I was really excited to be, I felt privileged to be asked to be a part of it. And so it was a definite yes. But most of his other shots were focusing just on the armpits. And I think after that brief bit in the media about Miley Cyrus not shaving her armpits, and there was a bit of talk about it, but it seemed, I still personally feel that there's so much stigma around the legs.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So I wanted to include them in the shot. Good on
you. What has the reaction been to it from your kind of friends and family and on social media?
Really positive. It's been amazing. I've had so many people write to me about how inspired they are, including quite a few girls from school who recalled when I first started not shaving and were saying how inspired they were at the time and still are. And I had a lot of comments just saying, wow, you're so beautiful, natural woman, etc.
Where do you think this stigma around we should shave our legs, we should shave our armpits, where does that come from?
Where does it originate from?
Or where did you feel it from, I guess, when you were kind of 13? I absolutely remember being there at 13,
yeah,
having a very serious conversation with my mother where I said, yeah, I think it's time for me to start shaving my legs.
I'm wondering if I should shave my
arm. I'm watching her almost crack up in hilarity, but yeah.
And also, should I shave my arm?
Yes, yeah. And I did that.
And then people saying, don't shave your arms because it'll grow back.
That's right. And I really identify with what you said, Charlotte. Everyone else was doing it. And then you sort of, there almost seems this rite of passage.
The boys expected it.
Well,
they wanted to be able to. I remember it was a thing at school to be able to, like, stroke your leg and not feel it had to be smooth.
Wow.
Right?
isn't it? It's a sign of maturing, isn't it? It's a sign of reaching puberty. It's a sign of suddenly, it's almost that signal of ta-da.
But it's a constructed sign of that.
Exactly.
And back to what your question was, that I feel that the origins come of it from this portrayal of what women are supposed to look like, which has definitely progressed really, really far, especially alongside society being more conscious and discussing gender in general has massively contributed to that, and more acceptance of different sexualities and just generally a promotion of inclusivity. Because something else it brings up for me is, you know, what about people in wheelchairs or disabled people? They're just completely struck off from being sexualized, mm-hmm, even though I know that they're often abused. But it's just funny that we come up with this idea of the perfect woman is supposed to look like this, and it's completely uninclusive and just not fair, really.
I've had a thing recently where I think, given my age, my hormones have gone a bit crazy, and I'm basically growing a beard. And because I'm super, super fair, you can't see it, but when I look at myself in the mirror, there's like, you know,
fluff.
There's a really, I mean, not even fluff down, there's like a really good woodcutter type beard situation going on. And I'm sort of thinking, oh, thank God, well, I'm so fair, so it doesn't really matter. But I think of, actually, I know lots of women who are there with a razor shaving their faces, who are thinking bleaching it, who are ripping it off. And it just feels like we're spending a lot of time and effort on something that is a bit ridiculous, really.
And happening to everybody, because you say that there, Harriet, and I can think, in straight away in my head, I'm thinking tick, tick, tick. The amount of fact, even on one of my WhatsApp groups, one of my oldest group of friends, they're all trading off the different, you know, products, you know, the you know, things that you can kind of laser off, your home laser things, for their tashes, you know, and for whatever it may be. But as you say, if we're all worrying about it, or we're not, actually, that's the whole reason you're here, Charlotte. But as you say, if we just let it carry on, then there isn't an issue, right?
I think it's so deeply ingrained, this worry and this expectation from society. And so I completely understand, empathise and experience myself wanting to make certain efforts to groom myself for other people's approval, or sometimes for my own benefit if it's going to enhance my power in the situation. But I do find it sad. One of the things, and I mentioned it in the photograph, the discussion for that, about like professionally feeling like I have to cover my legs and my armpits for work and feeling really uncomfortable with that annoys me. because I don't think that any of the male or assigned male people that I in my industry would have to do that. Though men have to worry about shaving their face.
Yeah, there's a level of grooming, I suppose, but that doesn't necessarily... Yeah, you don't need to remove all your leg hair or armpit hair to be groomed.
Especially not in the winter or anything. Yeah. And on top of that, sometimes people portray that it's more hygienic, which is just...
Well, no, because surely it's designed to be there for a reason, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing in nature that hasn't been put there. It's all very well considered, isn't it?
Yeah.
So have you encouraged lots of your other friends to think differently about their body hair? And perhaps the guys around you, you're friends with as well? Are you changing attitudes with your sort of stance on this?
I believe so, from what has been reported back to me from people. Yeah. And that feels great.
Yeah. Love it.
Have you heard any sort of negative reaction? You know, for example, say when it is hot, and we've had a very hot summer, haven't we? Though that feels like a long time ago now. But have you ever had anyone sort of do a double take or make a comment? Say if you got the vest top on and...
Yeah, definitely.
What do people say?
Well, less so the of people saying anything. More just definitely double takes and people looking on public transport quite... You know, shocked, but I would be shocked. Yeah, I still get shocked when people have certain, you know, unusual body appearances. It's just on the basis of it being unusual. I haven't particularly had anyone tell me that it's unattractive in a long time. I think at the beginning, my mum was definitely a bit confused about it. But she seems to be quite supportive now, especially seeing how the world is changing. It's changed so much since I first stopped.
You say the world's changing. Twitter's not changing. We've had a few tweets of we've had a vomit emoji. We've had another GIF, which is about having to go and vomit.
Really?
So we've upset a few.
We've
upset a few men.
Oh, guys, come on.
Well,
yeah.
Tough.
Really?
Tough luck.
Yeah, exactly.
All I want to say, come on, guys. Look, how do you feel about it? Do you want to, you know, it works both ways, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I think it's just so frustrating to me that I really resonated with your point, Charlotte, which is about, particularly in the summer, men can walk around in shorts with hairy legs and we just don't even think twice about it. And women can't. You know, we have to have
and the rest,
legs.
Hairy butt cracks. Yeah. I mean, if you're on holiday,
absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Really?
It's like hairy backs. You know, I mean, that's just the way some people are made.
And our clothing is designed to make it more uncomfortable. I've noticed this on the beach. Like, our clothing's more revealing, so a guy will be in his trunks, or even in Speedos, will seem to like manage to cover up where a bunch of hair's coming out. But I guess you don't notice because you're used to it, because the guy's allowed to have it. But then you put on a little itsy bitsy bikini and the hair's poking out, and that's actually something I felt pretty uncomfortable with. I feel like if I'm gonna wear an item of clothing that's exaggerating a standard beauty norm expectation anyway, it makes me feel even more uncomfortable. So depending on where I am and depending on my mood, you know, sometimes I'll remove pubic hair. It can also be quite useful if you know what I mean.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
Welcome to the Badass of the Week.
I thought it was question time.
That's the level of serious. Oh, yeah. That's my pitch for question time. Sending that in as my audition.
Do it. Send it in. You wanted an agent this week.
Yeah,
this is your thing. Send it in to the agent.
Send it in as my question time audition.
Yeah, do it.
2001. It is time for our Badass of the Week ceremony. Not to brag, but I've scored one win. Nat has scored one win. Emma, how many have you scored?
Zero. But this week you're cheating, Harriet. So I am going to void any scores and not even write them down.
There is a lot of tension here, guys.
Well, no, look, hang on. So we've decided to turn the Badass of the Week into a competition,
right?
Yeah,
I like it.
Okay, so therefore, we all pick our badasses. We share our news stories with our producers during the week. So then you see what everybody else has picked. This week, Harriet saw who we had all picked, and then she changed it today in the production meeting. That is cheating.
Tactical, Hattie.
It is. I mean, it is, but I did change it for a really good reason. It's because it's when you hear my badass, you're like, it's news appropriate.
I know, and that's why it annoys me even more, because she obviously deserves to win.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But we will start. Who wants to start? Should we start with
not
mine?
Me. I don't know if I'm playing anymore.
Well, I don't think mine's going to win at all. Mine seems a little vacuous.
None of us are going to win because Harriet's going to win. She's already engineered it.
Maybe Harriet should go last then, because then we're going to make that more win anyway.
Anna, you go first. Who is yours?
Okay, actually, I wish to apologise. I don't mean to call Holly Willoughby vacuous.
She's not.
No, she is. I mean, Holly Willoughby. I mean, she's absolutely trounced it, hasn't she? Mm-hmm. You know, she is badass in so many ways. Not least because we were stable mates in kids telly all those years ago, and you know, wow, look how incredible she's doing. So she's my badass for this week, though, because she's a busy working mum, as we know. She's got mm-hmm. 3 children. She presents this morning, and she has a brand new lifestyle brand that she has been sort of touting out quite a lot called Truly, which was supposed to be launching in the autumn. It's very much like Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop brand. And she has decided, she's made the decision, according to the papers, that she's going to step down. That she has decided, actually, this huge business that she's about to launch isn't going to fit in, actually, with her family commitments. We know that she's just taken over from Ant McPartlin temporarily on I'm a Celebrity, so she is shipping all the family off for that at the back end of the year. So she is now citing family commitments and not actually giving enough to her work-life family balance if she does this particular brand. So she's my badass because she's chalking it up there, I think, for all the mums in this world which have to cope with mum guilt. It is a thing. We shouldn't have it. I have it. We all have it. The minute we're away from our kids and we're working, we feel guilty that we're not with our children. But I think it's really good that she's just put herself on that platform now to say, do you know what, work-life balance, whatever works for you and your family, that is okay, even if that means you have to sometimes make an unpopular decision to come back out of a business deal. So that's why she's my badass.
And what I think is actually really badass about this is it was really public.
It was, you know, really public.
There was so much promotion around that business. Loads. Her face was all over it. Yep. She'd made a big statement about it. And we've all been in that situation where you're doing something and you're thinking, oh no, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? And it gets so far down the line that you think, I can't back out of it. Yeah. I've got to do it now. And for her to be like, do you know what? I have got all the way with this, but being realistic, it's not working. And being totally public and open and honest about that, I think that must have been really scary, and I think it's a really badass move.
Me too, and I think that was it. It was the public way it was done. The fact that she publicly tweeted, she doesn't actually tweet all that much or Instagram all that much, really. Not personal stuff. She does her fashion stuff. But to actually, as you say, not just let a representative come out with it. She just went, do you know what? This doesn't work for me and my family, so I'm changing my mind. And I think that's quite badass, as you say, to be that public.
And interesting, mm-hmm. because she just came out and said it, that to me, I didn't really see a lot of backlash about that. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like there was no, like you say, if a spokesperson had come out, everyone would be like, what's going on? But she just really was like, I've got too much on. I'm too busy. This is lovely, but I can't do it. And they were just like, all right, there's no way that you...
There's no argument.
There
was no argument. When the person themselves said, I'm done, I can't do this, and actually my career choices have changed. As you say, there's nowhere else to go with it. And I think she's very clever that she's troubleshooted that very quickly.
I think that is real life, because I think there's nothing worse than somebody who wants to say no, but you don't say no. So you end up shirking or letting people down, where if you're really upfront and you go, do you know what? I said yes and I was going to do this with you, and I'm really sorry I can't. Again, you just kind of, it just makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah, and that's the thing she said, you know, this launching this kind of brand, I've just realised, is going to take an awful lot of commitment and dedication, of which if I commit to this, it's going to take me away more and more from my home life and my family life. And I value my role as a mother above all else. So I think, and that's, I mean, according to what she said. So I think that's quite admirable and very badass.
Yeah, super badass.
Good candidate.
Very good call.
Good candidate.
Like,
and thank
strong.
You for not cheating, Anna, and staying true to the spirit of the badass.
Emma, I'm all about authenticity and being true.
She says as she slurps. All right. Emma Sexton, who is your badass of the week?
So when I choose my badasses, I am not led by who I think is going to get me a vote.
Honestly,
I am led by the women that have inspired me this week with no personal agenda.
Okay.
So this week, my badass of the week is actually a childhood friend. So Alison Tree, She lived across the road from me. Growing up, she was like probably about 3 or 4 years older than me, and she always wanted to be a doctor, and she studied really, really hard. And this week she was on the news, on BBC News, because she now works at the Royal Marsden, and she is a specialist in, she is a consultant in prostate cancer. And they were talking about a new, the new MR Linac, which is really targeted radiotherapy, which is really leading the work that they're doing. And also, they are collaborating with other healthcare, leading healthcare divisions across the world to make sure that they're not replicating their research. But she was on TV, and I've not seen or spoken to Alison for a long time. Like, you know, Alison's probably 45. I don't think I've spoken to her in 30 years. And she was so incredible to see this woman that I grew up with, and I remember, you know, every summer holidays we'd play, sit there and talk so eloquently, so passionately about what she does. And she has worked incredibly hard, and I was just in absolute in awe of her. I was just like, that is, you've worked incredibly hard to get where you are. You are genuinely changing lives, changing, you know, cancer care at the Royal Marsden. And I was like, yeah, go Alison. I'm really proud to have
That's badass.
And you know what? So often we talk about women who are doing kind of amazing things in a one-off. They've done this big thing that's happened. Actually, there's a lot to be said for celebrating women who have just gone, this is my life, I'm dedicating it to this, and I'm working my way through. It's incredible.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well done, Alison. Well done, Alison.
I think she's done an incredible...
Very
she's saving
strong,
lives.
Yeah, very strong contender.
Oh, a strong contender. Okay. And who is your badass of the week, Harriet, now that you changed it last minute?
So my badass of the week that I did change last minute, but also any of you could have had, that's what I'm saying, any of you could have had, it couldn't really be anyone other than Dr. Christine Blasey Ford this week. So she is the woman who has accused Brett Kavanaugh, who is the US nomination for the Supreme Court, of rape when she was 17. And this week she stood in front of the Senate and gave evidence about that. And it's a huge deal in the US, because once you are nominated to the Supreme Court, you are there for the rest of your life. You have the final ruling on all legislation in the US, and you have to die for that position to be taken away from you. Right, wow. So
do you know what? Gosh, I didn't realize
You are there for life. And Brett Kavanaugh has views that I personally feel are not favorable to women at all. It's a very political nomination. When you look up of the when you look at the makeup of the Supreme Court, it actually already weights in favor of a more conservative leaning. So technically, there should be, to create balance, it should be a more liberal judge being proposed, and there isn't. And Christine Blasey Ford has not talked about the fact that she claims he raped her really at all in her life. She hasn't. She never accused him of it. She didn't take it to the police. She didn't really talk about it with her family. It happened. She dealt with it. She kept it secret. And she saw him potentially being appointed to the Supreme Court. She saw the impact that he would have on other women's lives. And she said, I cannot let this stand. And she has come out and publicly accused him of rape. She has accused him of group rape, accused him of covering it up. She has had to be interviewed by the Senate. She has been torn apart by the FBI, who've been investigating it. She has been torn apart by the conservative media. She's been torn about on Twitter. She's had people tweeting her and being like, if this was real, you would have talked about it before. You would have talked about it. The fact you didn't talk about it proves that this is fake. And she stood there and she gave evidence. And I just think she didn't do it for her, she did it for women. And that, for me, is a completely badass move. And
to stand up and put
yourself
through that.
I know it's a late call, but no. She has to be my badass of the week. Yeah. So we're going to take a little vote amongst ourselves to see who is the winner. Anna, the official rule is you can't vote for yourself, but you can vote for anyone else. Who is our badass of the week? Who are you voting for? Emma?
Look, your badass has to win. I feel like Alison, I think I should get half a point for Alison. And also last week I had an amazing badass. And again, I lost, but she was amazing. So I feel like I should have half a point. Can I have half a point?
You can have half a point.
You can have half a point.
Anna, who are you voting for?
I'm loving Alison, but it's got to beat you. It's got to beat
you. Christine Blasey Ford, you are our badass of the week. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4! This has been Badass Women's Hour's Best Bits.
If you liked it, please do rate, review and subscribe us. We love that. 5 stars. Or come chat to us on social media. You can find us at Badass Women's Hour, HR at Badass Women's Hour, or come talk to us individually. I'm at Harriet Minter.
At Emma Sexton.
And at Natty Campbell.
We'll be here again next week, same time, same place.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.